this.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors. Your source for everything paranormal. Para-X.
Hey, this is Dustin Perry from Ghost Hunters, and you're listening to Dave and Mike on the Odyssey Files. It's not the best show you're ever going to listen to, but it's also probably not the worst.
Oh! Kim, what are you doing?
Well, I'm telling Mike and Dave, it's time to get on the show.
Oh, well, the Odyssey Files starts now.
Good evening, Para-X. It is 7:15 on Monday night, and we are finally live, this time I can't even blame Skype. So this was 100% my computer for whatever reason. Maybe it's a genius, maybe it's evil, no idea. They do not give you the opportunity to restart your computer without doing updates. So, yeah, we kind of figured that out a minute and a half before we were supposed to go on the air. And here we are. Good evening, Dave.
Good evening, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing better now.
Good.
I think after like a year and a half of being on for the first time, I don't need to introduce who you are.
No, probably not. They figured I'm here, so.
So, it's a good thing that... Oh, don't worry, Kat. I'm going to.
Going to what?
Wow. That. Oh, never mind. Wow. Okay. That was crazy. Did you hear that at all? Or
no.
Was it just me? Okay.
Just you.
Good. All right. So we're silent here for like 5-10 seconds.
I guess we were. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Wow. Go us. We're doing really well today. The only reason why I stopped talking is because all of a sudden it started, what I had just said started playing in my headphones.
Oh.
And I realized that when I went back into the Para-X chat room, which everybody can go into, by the way, and chat with us live and tell us how well we're doing right now. it started to play back the show because that's what you can do. And for most of the time, mine's off, but whatever, started playing again. So, yeah.
Welcome.
I don't know if we can do that.
What?
I don't know if we can, like, sing the...
Well, we can sing it. We can't play the official, like, thing.
Right,
because
no,
that's... Right, because that's probably got a copyright on it. But you and I, we can sing anything we want to. We can sing the Dukes of Hazzard song. We could do the Twilight Zone theme song.
Well,
we can do whatever we want.
We're definitely not going to do the Dukes of Hazzard.
Just a good old boy.
Nope. That ends there. So, anyway, it's a good thing we only got like 45 minutes of content for today. So,
yeah. We're right on spot. We're spot on, actually.
We scheduled that perfectly.
We got a killer 44-minute show today, and it's going to work out just perfect.
So I want to start, and I think this is something that we should try to do more often, even though there's no, I went and tried to look for more of these, and there just wasn't any. It was all, you know, see the security camera footage,
this
that caught this spirit, but I'd like to do paranormal in the news, but like crazy, crazy type stuff, ones that where we can actually like discuss it instead of look at this video that nobody else but us can see. So about a week and a half ago, I actually was tagged in a post by one of my investigators. And I didn't read it, the article itself. I just read the title and was like, what? Maybe you guys have seen it. I don't know. If you have, then you can just follow along. But the title of the article, and you'll understand why I'm bringing this up, is Paranormal Investigator Fires Gun at Alleged Ghost Inside Home. So, that right there was like, what? But reading it, that title, I think, is a little misleading. You think?
Yeah, yeah. After, excuse me, after you, while we were waiting to get on, I actually went and did some research on the guy real quick, and I think that's totally misleading, because he, you know, and you go into the details and it'll show why. But yes, as right. It's kind of a Bader title, you know?
Yes.
Hey, come check this out, you know?
Yeah, because, you know, and I read it thinking that this guy is on an investigation, and, you know, of course, so I'm like, one, why does he have a gun? Two, how could he be stupid enough to think that he could fire a gun out of spirit and be that be would be okay? So I'd like you to, I almost can read you the entire article because it's only like, you know, five sentences long. But this took place in Tolland, Connecticut. This is what it says. A Connecticut man who told police he was a paranormal investigator faces several charges after firing shots in his house at what he told police may have been a ghost. I won't give his name, but he's 25 and he's doing court on September 11th. So we went last week? Yeah,
last week. Would have been last week, yep. Tuesday, yep.
On five counts, including illegal discharge of a fire, making false statement to police, second-degree reckless endangerment, misusing an emergency call, and disorderly conduct. So this person, the police say that this person put two bullets in his own wall on July 26th, initially reporting the incident as an attempted break-in. He later told police he believes the intruder was actually a spirit. Naturally, he did not immediately return a phone call for comment.
So, all right. But, so here's the interesting thing there, though. So the very first report that he gave to the police was that an armed man wearing a hoodie and holding a rifle broke into his house. That's the first thing he told police. And so he got his gun in self-defense and fired a couple of rounds, and what police assumed was to scare the intruder off. Then when he changed his story and said, I think it might have been an apparition, that's when this whole kind of thing shifted gears with the police, and they picked him up on a routine traffic stop, and that's when they arrested him.
That wasn't part of this. You must have read a completely different article.
Well, I read five different. It made NBC New York News. Channel 4, wow. NBC New York. It actually made that. That's what the site I was reading. So it had all the facts in there. So yeah, wow. So they picked him up on a traffic stop, a standard traffic violation, and he had a warrant out for his arrest because of those counts that you just laid out there.
Okay. Wow.
But and the other thing is that's his second time that this has happened. Yes. It happened in 2011.
Yes, state police told the Journal Inquirer of Manchester that this person made a similar report back in 2011.
In which he didn't fire any gun, but that he called 911 to report a break-in, and they found no evidence of any type of break-in.
Did he blame that on a spirit?
Yes. And that's when he started investigating, because he's only been a paranormal investigator for 5 to 6 years. And so if you do the math, 2011, maybe he took a little time to get him involved in it, and then he got started in it because of what he saw in his house, and now he's graduated to firing guns in.
Please, everybody, get training. Because if you win 5 or 6 years of being trained, and at one point in time, the phrase, you can't hurt spirits with bullets, did not at some point come up. You have a horrible trainer.
Yes, you do.
But it, I guess in the defense of that, Deb, who was the one that tagged me in this post.
Yep.
My reaction to it, and again, I hadn't read it. I just read the title of it, was, if I need to put into the rules that you do not fire a firearm during an investigation, you are not on the team.
It's a good rule.
Yes. But that it's not even the rule. If I have to add it as a rule for somebody who thinks that that's okay,
right.
You're not on the team to begin with.
Right.
Or you're off the team, maybe. But
so maybe I'm thinking that maybe he saw a bunch of Supernatural episodes when they used the salt, the 12-gauge with the salt slugs, right? And so maybe he didn't realize that it was salt. Maybe he thought it was a legit 12-gauge or something. And so we figured, well, if Sam and Dean can shoot ghosts with a 12-gauge, you know, then I can use my pistol or whatever. I don't know. Or maybe he had salt slugs in the pistol. Who knows, right?
I'm actually surprised that GA hasn't gone that way.
Well, I don't know. Well, I think that
we're going to protect ourselves with salt bullets.
Right. This is kind of weird. You know, when you read it to me, that's the first thing I said to you was the first two things that you said. Right. I'm like, why does he have a gun in an investigation in somebody's house? And or why is he, you know, and why is he firing bullets or something? You know, and I'm like, and then I read it and it was in his own house and stuff. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, it doesn't make it any better. It makes it better in the fact that he wasn't at a client's house.
Yes.
But it's still disturbing that, you know, I mean, I don't know. Maybe he just got super scared. Maybe he thought he saw what he saw and just feared for his life. I don't know. Maybe he lives in a rough neighborhood.
I guess that's true. I mean, I guess I don't want to judge, even though I already have.
Yeah. No, yeah, you have.
We don't know his story. Maybe he's a psychopath. I don't know. Maybe he just really, really loves to fire guns and is looking for any reason to do it.
Well, because you go to the firing range for like $10. So highly unlikely he's just going to start blowing holes in the walls of his house for no reason. Because you have to fix that damage, you know. It's not like you just leave it there. Hey, was that a Smith & Wesson 40 that blew those two huge walls through your big screen TV there on Thursday night?
yeah. So I almost completely miscalled it what it was. As a public service announcement, PSA. Seriously, I don't even know why I'm going to admit this on air.
Uh-oh.
But I'm going to anyway. I almost call it a PDA.
Be careful of your PDA when you're firing your gun.
I just can say as a PDA, and I'm like, that's not right.
No, that's not right.
As a PSA.
Yes.
Don't take a firearm to any sort of investigation, and please do not think that you're going to stop any sort of paranormal activity with a gun.
No, you're not.
Or flamethrower, bazooka.
No.
Well, you might stop with a bazooka.
You'll kill yourself, yeah.
Well,
and it'll be over.
If you stood back, but you just blow up the entire location. So, I mean, I guess you could use a bazooka. I don't know if that would stop the activity, though.
No, it's not going to stop. It's just going to make one heck of a mess. Yeah.
be a haunted pile of rubble instead of,
instead of a house. Yeah, exactly.
So, all right. So we're moving on from that. I just wanted to bring that up and just kind of as a fun little conversation. And I hope we can do more of those, maybe just not about people acting like reckless morons.
Well, you usually don't see stuff like this. So that's why I thought it was interesting that NBC New York picked the story up. You know, I don't know if they picked it up for the fact that he discharged a firearm and everybody's uptight about guns. I would assume that's probably why. I highly unlikely that they picked it up because of the claim of a spirit activity.
I almost wonder if it depends on how the story itself was run. What was it run as? This is why people shouldn't get firearms, or was it run as a paranormal investigator thought that he could stop a ghost by using a gun?
They didn't call him a paranormal investigator. They just said a gentleman.
Oh, okay.
So.
Okay. Well, whatever. Because I was just thinking that if it was done as a paranormal thing, maybe they're just trying to get on track with the whole paranormal is now like a mainstream type thing and everybody's getting involved in it and it's popular.
Well, yeah, it has been for a while. It's just been kind of sitting on the back burner for, you know, mainstream news doesn't want to get into anything because they brand themselves that way, you know.
They're afraid to do
anything out of the abnormal, you know. Let's just stick with the, you know, bashing of the political system.
Well, I mean, it's a never-ending material, but...
Well, right, for any president. I'm just saying, it's for any... It doesn't matter who the sitting president is. It's a never-ending game for the news media.
Yes. So, I'm glad that you... Because you've mentioned this twice now, and that actually moves into segue... To our next topic. So one of the things that we wanted to talk about tonight, where I know Dave and I have done a show about frequently asked questions that him and I get, but there's a lot that's a lot different than the questions like brand new investigators get, like when they tell their friends and family that they're going to join a team. And, you know, there's always this series of questions you get asked.
Right.
And so I thought that I would go to a bunch of rookies. I don't mean to call them that, but, you know, new people into the field and see the questions that they had been asked. And maybe Dave and I could answer them for them.
Sure.
And two came up that almost everybody has been asked, including me. That I think are good topics, just to kind of set aside or get, you know, to discuss and then set aside. The first one is, I don't understand, Dave, why everybody seems to think that what we do is scary. Like, everybody's like, what's the scariest place you've ever been? Don't you guys ever get scared?
Yep.
You know, it's like, oh my, I used to troll GA. I know that's hard to believe, but I used to majorly troll them on Twitter as their show was airing. And it blew my mind at how many people are like, oh my God, I could never do that. And, you know, like, oh, you must be so scared. And I'm like, no. In fact, besides, and I will answer this, I don't know if I have or not, but I have answered this many, many times before that I don't think I've ever been scared of an investigation, but I've been very, very anxious, and that was that very first home investigation that I did with you.
Yep.
And you know which one that is.
Yep.
Very, very anxious.
And I would agree. Yeah, and I would agree. You were, you know, I don't think you were scared at all, but you definitely were kind of like, I'm going to feel much more confident if Dave is within, like, eyesight and, like, 10 feet circumference of me, just in case
somebody,
something goes wrong.
Somebody.
Well, I was the only one downstairs with you, so.
No, Steve was in the other room.
Oh, was he? Down by the laundry room?
When you sent me.
To the master bedroom.
No, it wasn't the master bedroom. It was the oldest daughter's room.
Yeah.
And you're like, go in there by yourself. I'm like, oh, well, great.
That's a small like room.
I don't care. or I didn't at the time. Now I'd be like, okay. But Steve was in the master bedroom, which is across the hall. I do remember you called him upstairs for some reason. I'm like, you're leaving? here's my take on the whole thing. I really don't think that there's anything in the paranormal that can be construed as, at least that I've encountered, and I haven't encountered everything, that would be considered like scary, you know, like horror movie scary. Very anxious, you know, you'd probably have to be very cautious, maybe even hesitant. But I don't think that there's anything yet that I've encountered that I would consider to be scary.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't been on every one of, you know, since we branched off. I mean, I haven't been on every one of your, you know, guys' investigations. But from what you've told me of them and stuff like that, I would agree with you. I think that there's, I think anytime you go into any investigation, you need to have your wits about you. That's the biggest thing, right? You need to understand, A, before you get in there, what's going on. You know, what is the client's expectations? What are the potential things that you could run into? And that comes from, that does not come from reading a book or watching TV. That comes from actual hands-on experience. What is something potential that I could walk into here at this location based on what the client is experiencing? And then, yeah, I mean, I've walked into cases where I, you know, my hair has stood up a little bit. I wasn't scared, but I could definitely, I knew that part of me was like, you know what? We might just want to ramp up kind of our personal protection and kind of ramp up our cautiousness, I guess, for lack of a better term, so that we don't put ourselves in a situation where if there is something really, really negative here, that we don't wind up in this like mortal fight, you know, between good and evil type of thing. Because you're probably not going to be ready for it because, and I know I've said this a million times, but it stays true all the time. You know, if you're in an investigation with your team, you're only as strong as your weakest person in the team. Because if you do run into something negative and it sees you and it knows that it's going to have a fight on its hand, and then it looks around the room and there's two other people or five other people, and all of a sudden there's one person who has zero idea of what's going on and is completely like internally really scared, it's going to focus on that person because there's no fight there and it's an easy attack. And I think that's when, you know, you run into trouble.
I tell this to pretty much every new recruit that, and you, I think I've said it to you too. I would probably say 70% of everything that we do during investigation depends wholly upon how you control yourself.
Yep.
And I believe it was Chris Fleming when he was on the show was talking about like protection and stuff like that, and he stated that when you know yourself, when you have full control of yourself,
yep.
They're not gonna mess with you because it's too difficult.
Right.
It's too much of a waste of their time.
Right.
To try and influence you or try and you know, get and jump you or however you want to phrase it.
Right.
And I think that comes with experience. Obviously, that comes with age. I think it's one of the reasons why I put an age limit. or age minimum,
right.
on new recruits.
Well, and so did we. Right. I mean, so did we. I didn't want to have, you know, 16-year-old kids out there.
Well, no, of course not. Oh, right. My God, no. But, I mean, right now, it's I put mine at 25. And sometimes I'm not even sure if that's... Especially since the kid that we just talked about in our news article was 25.
Was 25, right.
So maybe that's not even low enough. I mean, but
right.
How you control yourself is the top tier. It is probably one of the most important things that you can do. And as long as you can control yourself, you're not going to feel fear. You know, you're not going to feel scared at any location you go to. And if you surround yourself with other people who feel the exact same way, then that's that whole control and that ability to fight off any sort of, you know, anxiety is going to be tenfold.
Yeah. Yeah. I would think it gets magnified by each person that puts it into the, you know, I'm just thinking like everybody contributes, right? So I'm thinking like you throw it into the pool in the middle, you know? So if you've got five people and everybody's throwing a large chunk of self-confidence into the pool, as a whole, your whole unit is going to be strong. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I totally agree with you on that.
Yep. So, I hope that answers that question.
Because, I would tell you, though, I bet you if we talked to some people, there would be some good stories about people who were scared, though, that are paranormal investigators.
Oh, 100%. But yeah. And I don't want to make this judgment sound snarky or arrogant or condescending, but are they really going to be good investigators in that point?
I would say it's maybe 50-50, right? Because maybe they'll get so scared that they'll just leave. And they'll be like, no way am I doing that again because, man, I didn't sleep for like 3 days. Or maybe they'll be so scared that then they'll go back out a second time and be like, you know what? Maybe they'll learn something from it and be, man, I shouldn't have been so scared. I let my own anxieties get the best of me in that situation. And I really should have been more level-headed like we talked about. And I just had a hard time controlling it. But now I think this time I'm doing better and next time I'll work on it and I'll get better. And then I think that's part of the whole learning thing, right, is that – You really can't learn something until you've made a mistake or you've noticed a weakness, you know?
Okay. Maybe that was where I misunderstood your comment. You're talking about new people.
Well, newer people. Right. Yeah.
Okay. Well, then I can completely understand.
Yeah. Let's say within the first year, you know?
Okay. Well then, yeah, I wouldn't consider that to be any sort of, negative connotation towards them. Mm-mm. I thought you were talking about somebody that, like, this guy who's been, you know, 5 or 6 years in, and all of a sudden,
right?
And if you went to Waverly Hills, fine. I could probably, you know, Trans-Allegheny, the Island of the Dolls.
Ooh, don't tease me.
I could probably understand maybe being a little freaked out.
All right. Island of the Dolls, Josh Gates episode. If you and I were with Josh and the three of us were standing there and he made that comment, if that doll moves, I'm going to lose it. And you and I were there and we saw it happen, I guarantee you we probably would have been just a little bit freaked just like he was. I wouldn't have been scared. I'd have been freaked.
I don't know, because it seems that the more intense the activity is, like, the more excited I get.
Yeah, but the whole doll thing is creepy to begin with, you know? And a lot of those dolls on the island look creepy.
Yeah, oh my God, yeah. But
I mean, oh my God.
I don't know how I would... I honestly don't know how I would react. It's just every time that, like, the more activity that goes on, like, the more excited I get, like, the happier I get. And I'm like, yeah, let's bring it on, you know, that kind of thing.
All right. I got a perfect solution for what we were just talking about. Okay. So after the show's over, we're going to call Josh. We're going to tell him that we have a discussion on our show.
Everybody.
Yeah. Well, I figured you did. So we're going to call him. We're going to tell him we had a conversation about his Isle of the Doll episode, and the three of us are going to hook up, go to the location, and we'll prove to our listening audience once and for all whether or not, if something weird happens on the island, whether we would get freaked or not. Right. That's fair.
I think that's fair.
Our listening audience deserves that type of dedication.
Yeah, and this is what we like to do for our listeners.
Yeah. Oh, it doesn't matter to me if I go or not, but I'm really going to feel bad as a radio personality if I let everybody down and I don't go out there. And I know that you're going to feel the same way. So.
Right. That is just another sacrifice that Dave and I are willing to make for our listening audience.
Right.
So the last topic that we would like to get to, and I've had this happen multiple times, and for whatever reason, it still throws me off. But one of the other questions that Scott, my investigator Scott, says he's got asked is, here – let me show you the pictures of the orbs I caught.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah.
I don't know what everybody's obsession is. One, with orbs, just in general. And two, their need to show investigators their evidence and get like our opinions on it. And then when we don't agree or we don't follow what they want us to tell them, that this is phenomenal evidence, oh my God, look at that orb, they get defensive and they try to defend themselves and convince us that what they're looking at is what they think it is, or they just don't want to listen to us at all.
Oh no, they dismiss you as not being, you don't know what you're talking about, obviously. Obviously. Because the other day I was standing in the living room and my wife was vacuuming in the play area, and I took a picture because I thought I saw something that looked like a cat, and next thing you know, the whole screen exploded. There must have been 500 ghosts in my house at once. Yeah. No, there were not.
Yeah.
Well, you're obviously not a paranormal investigator. You're obviously not a paranormal expert.
Yes.
Right, yeah.
Which is 100% correct.
That is 100% correct, and I've said it before. I've been like, nope, you're right, yeah. I'm not.
Yeah, I mean, you might as well just say, well, you're not Santa Claus. Well,
right.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Nice, astute observation, sir. So this has happened twice, at least twice to me recently. Oh, and one happened almost 1 year ago at Paracon of last year. I have the SLS Connect cam, which is very popular on Ghost Adventures, even though I'd probably say 75% of what they show you is completely natural and has nothing to do with the spirit at all. But because there's a stick figure on the screen, oh my God, it's a spirit.
Well, Kindred Spirits uses it too.
Sometimes they do. Not yeah. always.
No, but I'm saying, I just started watching some of the older episodes, and I've seen it on there, you know, yes. And I've seen them see something, and they get excited about what they see, too.
Yes. So. I think I haven't seen a lot of the older episodes. I have seen a couple of the new ones, and they don't have it on all the time.
No, not all the time.
Probably,
no.
I think that's because if they do they do use it, they, for probably 90% of the time, don't get anything, so it doesn't right. make the show.
Right.
So this guy, I have one of those, and this guy came over and saw that I had one and struck up a conversation with me about the fact that he had built one. Like, he had taken the grid or whatever out of the actual Kinect and yep. had built himself one. And he wanted to show me his video that he had captured. I think it was at the Palmer. And so I'm looking at it, and this figure that he showed perfectly followed the air duct that was in there. And they showed me another video, and it perfectly followed like a chair. It was like a chair next to like a dresser or something like that. And it perfectly followed like where they connected and everything. I'm like, and so I'm explaining to him, well, this is nothing. This is just mapping out these two, this and that. And, right. He listened. He was very patient. He didn't look very happy with me, but I think that he understood what I was saying. But then later I found out he had gone to, I'd mentioned it to another one of, not my investigators, but another team, that we were talking about. And I brought him up, and they told me that he had come over after me and showed him the same stuff. So he didn't take what I said like for anything.
Well, no, because he built it himself, so obviously it was showing evidence.
Yes, and it was at the Palmer, which is known to be haunted. So Palmer, haunted figure on my homemade, you know, Kinect cam, ghost. I mean, it
yeah.
makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Why? What? I mean, it wouldn't. Palmer has furniture, I think.
I don't know. I've never been there. Yeah, I was going to say. I'm assuming they do. Yeah, I'm assuming they do. It's a hotel, so I'm going to guess they have at least a bed or a mattress or something.
Right.
Yeah.
It would be hilarious if they just had a mattress.
Just a mattress on the floor.
You come for the ambiance.
Yeah.
You come for the ambiance, not the comfortable bed.
No.
But, yeah. And then the second thing, and I got contacted by a guy who lived in an apartment building, and his dog was suddenly acting weird. He was, like, sitting in the hallway, staring at the front door. I'm like, okay, well. And, like, I think he heard some knocks or something like that. I mean, it was stuff that was suddenly happening. So I gave him a whole bunch of different scenarios. Well, you know, did you just get new neighbors? Did they just upgrade their stereo settings? You know, that kind of thing. Maybe it was a beat. You know, maybe they got a stereo system with some bass.
Maybe they got and the cat walked past the door. And the dog was like, hey, is that a cat on the other side of the door?
Perhaps. I don't know. I mean, that was stuff that I asked them to find out, to try to figure out natural explanations. Well, then about 2 weeks later, he sent me these two photos of this old barn that had just a stockpile of antiques. And he said that there was a figure in these photos. And he was wondering if it was possible that, like, his lady friend that was there with them might have gotten followed home. And I'm like, well, probably not. But, you know, let me take a look at the photos.
Yeah, is it possible? Yeah, it's possible.
Well, yeah.
It's always possible, right? I mean, I would say it's, you know, on a percentage basis, it would be low, you know. But is it possible? Yeah, it's possible.
And so I took a look at these photos. And I could tell, based on I don't know if it was to be considered matrixing, but there was like multiple things that were like, I think it was like a reflection off a mirror and a coat rack. And I mean, I could see what he was seeing, but yeah. I could also see that there was a natural explanation for it, especially since both photos, it was in the exact same place in the exact same stance. Like it hadn't moved at all.
And did it look similar? I haven't seen these pictures. Oh, so I mean, did yeah, it look no, similar it, to, in it, both it, photos? It looked like a similar thing.
It was completely the same.
Yeah, okay.
Nothing had changed.
Gotcha.
And I explained this to them, or to him anyway, and the email I got back was, okay, yeah, I can see what you're saying. I'm like, but I'm going to get a second opinion. I'm like, then why even ask? Why did you even ask me? So, yeah, I don't know what came out with that. I don't know if he found a second opinion or what. He never contacted me again. But that has happened before, is that I've been contacted by people, take a look at these, tell me what you think. I tell them what they think. They never contact me again because they don't like what I tell them.
Right. It's because they want to hear you. They want to hear you empower them because of what they saw, so that they can like go to all of their friends and family and say, look at this picture I caught. And I ran it past a guy who's in the field, and he said it's a great piece of evidence. And so now I'm a paranormal investigator.
If only it were that easy.
Yeah, exactly.
But I'm sure that type of thing has happened to you.
Yeah, absolutely. Many, many times. You know, I think I'm a little less harsh than you are at dismissing it. I will say that. I think you're pretty probably like, that's not shit. There you go. Hand them the photo back and away you go, right? Where I'll let them down just a little bit more gradually, you know, like, well, you know, I mean, there's an outside chance it could be something. But I think if you take a look at the way that the light's hitting the mirror, and you take a look at the way that this is positioned and or whatever, and I didn't see the photo, so I'm just speculating here. But and even if even if I could debunk the photo easily, I would have maybe just empowered him a little bit by saying, you know what? But, you know, the second part of his question was, you know, do you think that his girlfriend or whoever, a friend, might have gotten followed home from this barn filled with a ton of antiques? Is it possible? Sure, it's possible. Because we already know that spirits attach themselves to items that they loved in the real world. And if you've got a barn full of antiques, there's a pretty depending on how big the barn is and how many antiques there are, there's a fairly good chance that there might be one or two entities that were really attached to something that they owned that is in the barn now being sold, and that they might just come by and visit it or want to hang around it because it was something that was really special to them.
Now, I did say that. Okay. I did say that it is possible that spirits often are attached to very important items in their lives, and yes, it is possible, especially if you brought that antique home with you.
Yes, but you didn't say that, so I'm just speculating.
Well, I said that to him, but I said, right. But your photos are nothing.
Oh,
well,
I didn't say that. Okay. Yeah, you did. I can see it. No, I can see you looking at you.
No.
Yeah, you were like, your photos are crap. Just take
no,
them.
No, I didn't say that. I explained exactly what I was seeing. I'm like, you got a coat rack, you got a mirror. And I'm like, I really think that you're just, you're matrixing, that you're just misunderstanding, but you're misidentifying. Right.
Misinterpreting what you're seeing. Yeah.
Misinterpreting, that's it. Right. I'm saying you're misinterpreting what you are saying. But when it came to actually being followed home, I did say that. Well, I said, is it possible? Yes, although very, very rare.
It's rare.
Unless you actually
purchase the object home with you
that has a spirit attached to it.
Right.
Of course I said that, because that's the truth. I didn't just tell him he's full of crap and send him on his way.
All right. That sounds
Come
good.
Come on. I mean,
yes, and of all the photos that I've seen, okay, so honestly, I'm going to do a quick reflection here. So of all the times that I've been approached with that type of scenario, and of all the pictures that I've looked at, I would say that it's less than 5% that I looked at it and I said to myself, you know what, this could be, I mean, you can tell right away when you look at it, you know. This could be something, because you look at the setting that it's in. You look at the time of day that it was taken. You know, you take a look at what's happening in the picture. You know, why did they take the picture? Right. I mean, is it like a birthday? Was it like a child blowing out a birthday cake, like a candle? Right. And then all of a sudden next to the kid, you see another child's face. But all the rest of the kids were standing behind the photographer. Is that something that I would consider possible? Yeah, absolutely. I would say that that's a potential. Right? It needs more. You need to look into it more, I guess is what I'm saying. You can't just dismiss it right off the cuff, you know? But yeah, I would say it's less than 5%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would agree with you on that one as well.
Yeah. But they are out there. I mean, right? They're out there. Don't stop looking. So for people that are listening, don't stop taking pictures and don't stop asking questions and don't stop looking, because, you know, if you take a look at the ideas that we've had and the guests that we've had, you know, the whole thing about global consciousness is that, right, if we get you know, a handful of people looking into it, you potentially are increasing the ability to see things and decreasing the veil.
So. Yes. And also, don't ask me a question that you're not, you know, prepared for the answer.
Well, don't ask anybody a question, right? I mean, don't ask anybody who's been doing this for an extended period of time. Don't go to them looking to be patted on the back that you just became the new 15-minute fame. I'm going to put my picture in the Smithsonian, right? That's not going to happen. Go in there with a reasonable expectation, you know? And if it's nothing, then just accept it as nothing. But here's what I'm going to say quick. You know what I'm going to do? Remember the thing I sent you, the orb picture? I know you remember the one.
No,
funny one, right? So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take that photo and I'm going to print that picture. I'm going to actually print that picture out. And then when somebody shows me an orb picture, I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to hand them that picture and I'm going to say, you know, I think that's dust, but if you get one that looks like this, I really think that you got some. Oh my god!
Are you gonna do
that's
it with
a joke?
Just the,
that's a with, joke.
With,
but it's
you're gonna
funny.
Do it with just you're gonna do it with just the orbs. You're gonna do it with the arrows and whatever.
Oh no, the arrows and everything. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. It has to be the whole picture because the picture is just funny.
It is. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
I wish I would have thought of that myself, but yeah. Nope. I either do not have that much time on my hands, or I'm just not that creative. I'm gonna go with the former. Say what?
What?
What? Huh?
You're busy. I know. You're swamped. No time on your hands.
I am. All right. Well, that pretty much does it for us. Boy, it seems like we just got on the air.
Boy, it does. That time went fast.
Yeah, it did. So tune in next couple weeks, actually. Next week, we have the great Chip Coffee back on. So excited to talk to Chip about upcoming Paracon and everything else that's going on with him. And then on October 1st, oh, I'm so excited about this one. Ever since we started this show, I've wanted to get her on the show. Miss Katrina Weedman will be our guest on. Yes, so excited to have her on.
I am too.
And then we're still looking to get a really, really good. Well, I mean, we have like two different people we're trying to get for October 8th before Paracon.
Right.
So we'll keep you on that one. But yeah, so tune in the next 2 weeks. Got two great guests. And I better get off the air. So everybody have yourselves a very good night.